Welcome to a new episode of the India Independent Films Podcast. This is Rahul Desai, your film companion critic. I have with me Ishita Sen Gupta today. No Uday Bhatia, unfortunately, because he didn't end up watching the titles that we are going to be discussing today. So it's going to be Ishita and me. Ishita, as you know, film critic for OTT Play. We are going to be talking about two titles today, both of which released last week and both of which we quite like. So that's a refreshing change. And one of them is a show which is streaming on Hotstar called Lutere, directed by Jay Mehta, and the showrunner is Hansal Mehta, Fathers and Duo, who were also behind Scam 92. And the second is Madgaon Express, Kunal Khemu's directorial debut, which has been getting surprisingly great reviews and good word of mouth. And we can't wait to talk about that one. I'm sure Ishita can't at least. We're going to start with Lutere. Just a few lines about Lutere before we get into the discussion. It's first of all, just like a warning, it's streaming on Hotstar, but only the first two episodes are streaming right now, and then it will run weekly till the end of the season, which is, I think, 8 episodes in total. Reviewers like me and Ishita were given all 8 episodes to watch, and therefore reviews are also based on all the 8 episodes. So we're going to be talking about, hopefully we won't give away too many spoilers. This is for those of you who want to tune in to watch it weekly. We'll just be talking about the show, what it does right, what doesn't work, what works. Having said that, let's dive right into it. Lutere is basically, as I said, 8 episodes. Two are streaming right now. What happens, it's basically a hijack thriller, a ship hijack thriller. It's very, for those who have watched Captain Phillips, like more than a decade ago, I think people will find it very familiar. It's about a Ukrainian cargo ship with a South Asian crew, most of whom are Indians, getting hijacked by Somali pirates, as tends to be the case with most of these thrillers. You think it's only going to be about that, but there's also the drama that's happening on land in Somalia itself. And that part of the narrative, like the what is happening on the ship is connected to what's happening on land, and that part is it's a very ambitious show because it keeps juggling both parts. It has Vivek Gombhir playing a Gujarati businessman who is very much like, I mean, we'll get into it, but you know, a lot of Harshad Mehta parallels. It is basically about him trying to keep afloat as a businessman and trying to, he's getting into a power struggle. It's very political. There's a lot of the local Somalian officials want to take back the power from him. He runs a corrupt sort of company as well. He has people around him. And as you might find out in the first two episodes itself, one of the consignments on the ship belongs to him. It is illegal, and therefore he basically is behind the hijacking of his own ship so that it doesn't reach land. So that is pretty much what happens, and you know, the rest of it is basically intercut between what's happening in water and on land, and it's very fascinating. Lots to juggle, many characters, a lot of the pirates. I think there are 8 pirates on the ship. There's a crew, Indian crew on the ship. There is Vivek Gombhir's character also, whose name is Vikrant Gandhi, and what's happening with him, his wife. There's a missing child in their family. Their mate's child is missing, so there's another subplot there, and a lot of politics happening on land. So there is no dearth of really density of narrative here. And it's a little difficult in that sense because, you know, you tend to watch long form shows and they struggle to sort of juggle all the things that are happening at once. And I won't lie, like even Lutere sometimes gets stretched at its seams. But I think it's a very well-crafted series, and I was quite surprised by how they managed to pull off such a challenging premise, and also very well made. Like Jay Mehta has very much, this is his technically his directorial debut, very much directed like, and Hansal Mehta being the showrunner, a lot of the action is very slick, a lot of suspense is very nicely built up on the ship at least, and the performances are great. Ishita, Getting into the show, did you, I mean, I know we all watched the trailers and all, but what were your, first of all, your expectations like, and then your experience of watching the show? Because it was a challenging watch, 8 episodes, most of them almost 45, 50 minutes long. We won't get too much into the plot, but what was it like?
Hi. So I think initially I was just very taken by the sweeping ambition of the show, to base a show not in India. You know, to they say it's Somalian, but of course it's not. I mean, it's South Africa, I'm assuming, but just to have and then find out you know, actors from there. The casting is very, very good. To not compromise, there's a very uncompromising bravery in a way in which the show goes on, because I found it a very original show in a way, because I think those of us who watch streaming shows in and out, you know, day in and day out, I think we have already imbibed a template to look forward to. I think by the second or third episode we know what can happen, you know, because we have watched so much of it. But I think with Lutere, what really I was taken by was the fact that it was creating its own beat as it was unfolding. You know, like there was no point when I felt like I had seen this coming, which I found very fascinating. Also, like you said, there are so many subplots, which really gets my goat sometimes. I do not like it. But I think that it really tries... you know, for those who haven't watched, I will not give away anything, but it just really tries to tie up as it unfolds, which is a tall task. It's not very easy given how many subplots are operating at any given point of time in the show. So yeah, I think I was just very, it's very inventive storytelling in that way, and very uncompromised storytelling. And also aided by the casting, which I feel is anyway something I really look forward to in a Hansal Mehta show or a film. Like, I think it just does so much of the heavy lifting in any case. But what was your, did you have a preconceived notion? Because I went in blind. I did not know anything about the show. But did you have any idea what the show was about?
I mean, fair idea. I had expectations because Hansal and Jay Mehta. So, you know, as you said, there are certain baggage, good baggage comes with that, because casting is one of the things that you mentioned, which works wonders for this show, because it could have gone frightfully wrong if any of the actors or any of the tracks didn't really work because of the performances. But the South African actors who are playing the Somalian pirates, and as well as the Indian actors, most of who we have seen over the years in Hansal Mehta shows and films, there's Rajat Kapoor playing the captain of the ship also. And, you know, there's Vivek Gomber, who finally sort of really breaks out in a protagonist role here. I mean, what's most interesting is, like, you know, you'd expect a show like this to be more than happy to be based on a ship itself and all the drama that's happening there, maybe like 5 or 6 episodes max. Because there's more than enough material there. You have the crew, you have the pirates, you have the socio-economical sort of consequences going on in land. There's, you know, there is one company trying to stop it. There's the Vivek Gomber. You'd think that would be enough. But I love that the show keeps reaching for more. And the ambition is very difficult to resist. Like, for me, I thought that would be its undoing. And it came very close at times, I think, midway through the show. Maybe 4th or 5th episode. But I also then remembered that it's sort of a weekly run. So it maybe because we were watching it at a stretch, we would be reacting differently to how dense the plotting gets at some point. And it's very difficult to juggle between tracks. Most of the characters are given their own arcs. Even the few, for example, even the one female member of the crew on the ship is given her own arc and you know, her struggles. And obviously, the pirates are looking to sort of, you know, take advantage of her in obvious ways. And it's as you said, you know, the gaze is very uncompromising. I don't think they take any shortcuts in terms, not just writing-wise, but even filmmaking-wise. I think whenever any drama happens on the ship, it's almost always, there's almost an equal reaction on land with Vivek Gomber's track and with what he's trying to do there, because even there's a militant outfit that gets involved at some point on the ship. And throughout, Gombe is looking out for his family. Vikrant Gandhi is looking out for his family. And that's why I said that. And the hat tips are also very obvious, because they want us to know that there are almost two simultaneous series or shows or stories going on. One is a very Scam 92 thing, which stars Vivek Gombe. Lot of hat tips to the series itself, given that both Fathers and Leo Hansal and Jay Mehta were behind that. And a lot of his arc is very similar to Harshad Mehta himself, because he's getting ousted by the people who profited from him, and suddenly, you know, everyone's turning against him, and he's looking out for his family, and, you know, he's just trying to beat the odds, and he's more or less an anti-hero too. He's very corrupt as well, and then what's happening on the ship is obviously very Captain Phillips. You have the lead pirate also named Barkhad, who was a hat tip to Barkhad Abdi, who was the pirate in Captain Phillips in the Tom Hanks film. So even the filmmakers are very aware of what they are trying to do, and I like the fact that they even at the cost sometimes of rhythm, I like the fact that they've really displayed the fact that something like a hijacking in waters, in Somalian waters and all, it isn't enough to sort of float a thriller out of that. Nothing exists in isolation in worlds like this. It's always some political agenda. It's always some, geopolitical tensions behind that. And I love that the show zooms out by giving Gombe such a meaty track and making sure that we always know how what is happening on land is connected to the tension on the ship.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Like the fact that, just as you said, that, you know, you would think that because it's so inventive, the entire premise of it, of a ship hijacking in foreign waters, you would feel that would be enough for the makers to make a show out of the whole thing. And the fact that they keep reaching is very impressive. I also want to circle back to, you know, what you said about the female crew member. And I found that so interesting, the way her arc was, just because, and it's not a spoiler, you know, like as you, I think probably in the first two episodes, you realize that, the more the pirates are, obviously they've overtaken this ship, and the crew members are, they are trying in their own way, but they are not being able to overpower them. And, the only one who basically does try harder is the woman there, which I found very interesting, because, you know, like, In the show, you almost feel like all the characters, actually, they're reaching out for some sort of heroism. And even Vivek Gombe's character, you know, at the end, for those who will watch it, he does try to redeem himself in a way. And even the ship crew members are trying to, you know, overpower and become, you know, like the hero. Even the Vivek Gombe's, the actress who plays Vivek Gombe's wife, you know, even she does try to become the, you know, the hero, because she tries to go and search for the son of her help, domestic help, who is missing. And in between that, there is this only female crew member who is actually, you know, trying and succeeding in a way more than the rest, in assuming the heroism, which the show kind of keeps away from everyone else. And I found that so fascinating, because, you know, you realize that the fact that this existence of what they're all subjected to, you know, where they are being keeping away, or they are being, subjugated in a way, it's for a woman, in a way, it is their, survival is like their default existence. Like for the men in the ship, the fact that they were surviving, they were reduced to a survival status, which for a woman is a default status. And that is why she tried and she succeeded more than the rest to take that leap, she was trying harder, which I thought was a very interesting addition, apart from everything else. Like, I don't think it's a spoiler, like there is a Pakistani crew member over there, and I really like what the writing and the makers do with the character. Did you I'm sure it registered to you, because I remember talking to you about it. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, that is a very interesting touch, because, you know, like, there are different kind of minorities in their own way on the ship. Almost everyone is technically a minority, socially and in other ways. And I like the fact that there are these little touches that I think you know, Hansal Mehta has been doing over the years. And for example, the Pakistani crew member that we are talking about, there is, he constantly is at loggerheads with the ship's captain, who's played by Rajat Kapoor. And he is very like, you know, each person for their own, for themselves, and survival, his survival instincts also take over, saying, you know, I have a family to care for. I am not part of this entire, these rescue missions you keep planning throughout the hostage situation. I'm going to look out for myself, because you can tell that is how, that is exactly probably what the way it sort of inflates to the geopolitical tensions between the Indian crew members and this one Pakistani crew member who's saying that, you know, I don't care, I need to look out for myself. And it's not token additions. You can tell that there is thinking behind that. He's not really the villain, and he's more human than most of the others, because almost all the Indian crew members try at some point to get out of this situation, and not all of it is ever successful. And he knows right from the beginning that he'll do what he can, but in the end, it's just he has to look out for himself, because he's probably been this Pakistani crew member for the longest time in this crew, and he does sense that there is certain maybe biases against him, say from the captain or the other crew members, even though the others say that there is no such thing. You can tell that the tensions are not empty at all. And it's the same, I feel, for the female crew member also. It's played pretty well by Pritika Chawla, because, you know, that it's very difficult to watch. We won't give it away, really, but her arc is also very difficult to watch. It's almost the... And there's a lovely moment between her and the Pakistani crew member at some point in the show. We won't go into details about that moment, but it really hits home the kind of the kind of gaze that the show has, even despite all the drama happening in the macro, through the macro lens. There's always these little micro dramas that are very successful at unfolding in their own ways, and that's why, like, and that's what I found so fascinating. Even the pirates, get all of them get like arcs of their own. Some of them are fantastically performed, and it's hard to see, because these are the same pirates that then try to abuse the crew and try to, you know, and there's probably more than enough bloodshed in the series for you to really empathize technically with everyone. But you can tell that everyone in this situation is convinced that they are doing the right thing. Whether it is the pirates, whether it is the crew, whether it is Vikrant on land, even though all of them are wrong, corrupt, and, you know, in their own ways in a bigger picture, and they make mistakes, you can tell that you empathize with their truth, basically. And that's why I found it so similar to the Harshad Mehta series. And that's why I feel like they really got that heartbeat of Luteere. Because otherwise, it would have been a very slick action thriller about a ship getting hijacked, and that's it. You can be happy with that, because Hansal and Jay Mehta are very competent at crafting even that. We saw that in Faraz last year. But I think they've gone beyond that. And, I'm more than happy to see, and so much, you can tell, so much research has been put into the writing, so much, we've never really seen an Indian show based in that part of the world, and getting so much into detail about, you know, the tensions between Somalians and Asians on land, and the politics there, and, you know, there's an entire election going to be happening, there's corruption happening, so... very impressive in many ways. Not all of it is successful, as I said. There are a couple of episodes that sort of lag and get a little too crowded. But, you know, that's to be expected with a show that... I prefer a show that aims for the stars like this. And even if it, like, in very little ways sort of goes wrong.
Yeah, totally. And I'll just correct myself. So the actress who played Vivek Gomba's wife, her name is Amrita Khan, because she's very good. Like, just the whole, I thought that, you know, kind of Hansal Mehta did that with Faraz as well, that, you know, even though the setting is not placed in our country, the subtext kind of echoes with what is happening. And in a very strange way also, you know, if you see the Vivek Gomba's character, Vikrant Gandhi, he technically, you know, doesn't belong. And the whole refrain or argument against him is that, you know, people want him to leave. And that becomes like a common refrain, which, you know, is kind of here as well, that, you know, if you don't agree with the system, you just leave. Notwithstanding the fact that, you know, of course, he's corrupt and everything, but just this idea of that this place belongs to only these people, you know, and not to the rest. I felt like there was like a deeper commentary there. But Rahul, also, I want to understand your views on Vivek Gonga's superb casting and performance as Vikrant Gandhi.
You seem to be most excited about it because I think you've been a fan for a while. And I've seen him in roles over the years. He's all very interesting actor, but I was never really on board in terms of like what kind of characters might he fit in. But he really gave it his all here. And I mean, I really enjoyed his performance as Vikrant Gandhi because it would have been so easy to play it like a typical ruthless Gujarati businessman. But here he even hams it up. He turns it into an art form, you know, like he's always hyper. He's always abusing someone or the other in, you know, in Hindi, knowing that the Somalians can't understand him. He's always like, his body is always always way ahead of, like, it just moves faster than he thinks. And, you know, he's a chain smoker. And it's just such a physical performance. And I didn't expect it, honestly. Like, I just thought that, I mean, I wouldn't think that it was unlikely casting on paper. But I think he really pulled it off. It's one of the better performances, I think, at least in Indian cinema, I've seen this year.
Yeah, and you know, so much of it because, of course, the kind of films he's done, like, you know, I'm thinking of To Serve With Love. And also, he kind of generally, you know, looks like, you know, he's like a nice person. Like, there is a nicety he brings. And I feel like the show really mined it so well to offset the inherent corruptiveness in his character. You know, like, you just do not know what to, like, he's always on the fence regarding what you feel about him. Because here is a man who really desperately loves his wife and his family. And who also wants to earn money. So these two things go hand in hand. And I really like what Vivek Gomber brought to the role. Because, you know, I don't think any other actor, I can't think of any actually, who could have struck that balance the way with the ease with which he did. And also there is a freshness he brings to it because we don't see him that often. So it's just, you know, and when the challenge is to see someone for over 8 hours, it's always nice. I think for me as an audience also, I think it's always nice to see someone you haven't seen much. Just to see what he can do with the role. And he really, as you said, like, he really does give it his all. And there are scenes when, you know, when he's wearing these suits and he looks disturbingly like Pratik Gandhi in Scam. Like the silhouette especially, you know, and the way he just changed his walk, and he's like, he slouched a little, and he is talking, and there is always a cuss word hanging at the end of every sentence, and there's a cigarette on his hands, and just that, I felt like it was such a lived-in performance in a very strange way, and I hadn't seen that coming from him, but I'm so happy, because I feel like, you know, it was like a long time coming for him.
Yeah, also a word for, you know, a couple of others. Gaurav Sharma, who we've been seeing for the longest time in bit roles. He's also a great stage actor. Here he plays a very slimy singer. And he is, his character is very interesting. While you watch the show, you'll get an idea of it. But he's more or less the man handling the situation for Vikrant Gandhi. He's the one who comes up with the idea of hijacking his own ship and things go wrong. And he's so good because you can exactly imagine how an Indian like him, who's probably lived in Somalia for most of his life, has sort of melded into that environment and, you know, is so much of a sort of nothing is honest about him. It's a very lived in performance. You can tell that he's hustled all his life and he always tries to say the right thing to different people, and he's just very smart at dealing with the locals, at making deals amongst people, and you can tell that he's a very different kind of NRI compared to the ones that we've been seeing on screen in Hindi films for the longest time. And I think Gaurav Sharma was excellent also, and it's also nice that he gets his views, especially in a long form show. There's no hiding really. So it's really good to see him as well, sort of really knock it out of the park with his role. And and you want to talk about the score a little, Achin's score?
Yeah, I think it just added so much to the show and to those like those very superbly crafted action sequences. Also, I think the music was so ably complemented by it, and even the opening score. I mean, it's just such a addictive thing. And you know, the thing is that the moment the show opens in the first episode and this code hits you, I think it immediately told me that this is nothing like I have seen before or I've heard before, because it has a very, you know, because like the beats were coming from the place where they had set the show in. So it just immediately, I think it was a precursor to what eventually I felt validated in, that this is nothing that I have watched before. And the sound also was nothing like I've heard before. So I think Achint Thakkar and Hansal Mehta, they've had a long creative collaboration. Scam was kind of his breakout work. And later he did Monica, My Darling, and even I think Ho Gaye. But I think this is just, it just shows his, his growth as an artist. And also it's just super, it just really worked for the show of this scale. So I really enjoyed it.
And, just the range of it, because there are, of course, the title theme is great. It's a great, and if you notice, the opening credits have pretty much most of the plot laid out in those shots. Like, if you actually go through each of the shots, you will see shots from the last episode and the seventh episode, all in that title montage sequence. And it's very smartly designed. Achint's score is lovely, of course, but I think his score also doubles up as the screenplay in so many, because the editing alone cannot juggle so many tracks. And I think the background score does a great job of merging them together. And this does it repeatedly. You're taking a rhythm of one scene and continuing it in another. The music doesn't tell us how to think or what to think. It just sort of merges. It just goes into that world. It merges into that world and does what the editing and writing is normally supposed to do. And I think it merges very well with other departments in that sense, and it's a very rare use of background score in a Hindi show or a film that actually adds to the screenplay and the writing and the world that it's based in, rather than just used as an extension of sound effects. So I think the craft is very slick. There's no surprises there, and as we mentioned, the cast is great. So we do hope that people watch it weekly. I don't know about the release strategy more than that, but all of us reviewers binge watched it, so I think we've reacted to it a little more primarily than say a lot of viewers might when they watch it every week. Very well made show at the end of the day, and it's a miracle that they pulled it off, because the scale is just massive, and it's a rare thing to do in shows, because normally you see based on true stories or biographical stories, even like Scam 92, where that they have enough material to work with. Here, you're manufacturing a lot of it. And I think it should go down as one of the better shows of the year by hopefully towards the end of the year when we talk about our favorite things. Is there anything you'd like to add about Luteri? We can then move on.
Yeah, no, I think we've pretty much covered it, given that a lot of people haven't watched it and I don't want to spoil their experience. So I don't want to also go into details about it. But just to reiterate what Rahul said, please keep a watch the show. It really deserves a bigger audience than it has. And I hope that I too think that by the end of the year, it will remain as one of the better shows we have watched.
Segue is almost impossible to do, but you need to take the next one now.
So the second one is also about a group of people. That's my segue. It is the second film. It's a film that we are going to talk about. Is Kunal Khemu's directorial debut. It's called Madgaon Express. It's a comedy film, and it stars Dibbendu, who is of course a massive OTT star, Prateek Gandhi, who we just spoke about regarding Scam, and Avinash Tiwari, who we all know from films like Bulbul. It is about three childhood friends, Dodo, Pinku, and Ayush. And the plot is very similar to we have seen before, to something we've seen before, that these three are friends. They have been friends in school. They've grown up. And now they are planning a trip to Goa. So the whole film basically unravels in Goa and what happens there. It is, as I said, it's Kunal Khemu's directorial debut. It's also written by him. He's also written the dialogues. He's also credited as one of the lyricists. So obviously it's kind of something he has spent years on. You can understand. The film also kind of unfolds with that kind of a passion. It's an extremely funny film which is consistently funny. You know, there is no point when it really dips, which you think it would. And it really takes this very oft-repeated premise of three male friends going to Goa or, you know, taking a road trip and thinking that they will have some kind of self-reckoning. And really, you know, tempers it with Kunal Khemu's, like, he tempers it with his own distinct voice. And it's just a very funny film. And also, I found it very strangely moving as well. So, yes, Rahul, I've given the intro. Now you tell, were you ready for, what were your initial thoughts about it? Did you think you would enjoy it?
I was actually looking forward to the film because I've watched Kunal Khemu's performances over the years. I watched some of his comedies and, you know, I think the latest of which was Loot Case, which released on Disney Hotstar during the pandemic. And I've always enjoyed, first of all, him as an actor and his brand of humor. He's really quick thinking, quick witted, and he comes from that, I think, the 90s Govinda school of like thinking on your toes and just saying whatever comes to your head. And I think most of his performances are laced with that kind of extravagance. And I've always enjoyed him as an actor, and I was always very curious when I heard that he was going to make his first film, what it looked like. And it does look like a nice little, it looks like a nice little mix of all the films that he's done, his kind of acting, as well as Ishita mentioned, I think a lot of these Goa and male bonding flicks that we've seen over the years. And it's, of course, it's produced by XL Entertainment. So it's their version of doing a dharma, basically. They are doing self-referencing and they are technically, quote-unquote, correcting their own cinema. And it was very enjoyable. Like, I was actually looking forward to the film. It's been a while since we've had, first of all, a consistently funny comedy, a mainstream comedy, one that is somewhat based in Goa, has a lot of men, a lot of masculinity, but does not need to resort to any kind of cheap humor, doesn't have a lot of, doesn't have sex jokes, is, you know, what you call family-friendly humor. Not like I am a big batter for that, but if it suits the film, great. And it's very clean and simple in that sense. And it's so good seeing the chemistry between three great actors as well. As soon as I heard about the cast is when I was actually looking forward to the film. Because Divyendu, I've looked for the longest time, I've always thought he's, even though, you know, Mirzapur made him like an OTT superstar, I thought he never really got his dues on the big screen. And I think his potential really comes because Dodo is the character whose perspective we technically hear the film through or see the film through. And I found that very interesting as well, which we'll talk about. And Pratik Gandhi, as you know, as I think most of us realize, is a revelation as the Gujarati character Pinku. And Avinash Tiwari is very suitably intense as his own. And we've seen them over the years in different, I mean, they've broken out in different roles in the last 5 years. And I sort of very much, I don't know, like I didn't really expect to laugh as much as I did, that I did during the film. But I'm very glad that after a while we get a comedy, we get a very funny film that doesn't have to compromise on its own really humor or its narrative or its arc or its tone to sort of make its audiences laugh. It's not really dumbed down in that sense. It's really Bollywood-friendly humor in a way. It's 90s humor. It's David Dhawan humor also. So, but I'm very curious to know why you found the film moving. Because I think you're one of the only people I know who found it moving. Like, a lot of us enjoyed it for various things, and I think you did too. But I found it very fascinating that you were also moved by what looks on the surface like just three guys doing stupid things in Goa.
So I just want to say that I had a blast watching the film. I laughed a lot. I didn't expect to laugh so much. I think I also laughed because I was anticipating watching Savarkar the next day. So, but also what I found moving is that, you know, like, I think we didn't mention it, but when I said in the beginning that, you know, Kunal Khemu kind of tempers the whole Goa going narrative with his own sensibility, by that I also meant that not only is there his own voice, but also from his lived-in experience, in the sense that it's a very Goa trip on a budget. You know, it is not like a Dil Chahta Hai, or it's not even like a, you know, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, where everything is a concern except money. Like, these people, you know, the money is a concern for these people, primarily because, and here I'll come to why I found film moving. So it's basically this these three friends, as we mentioned in the beginning. So Pratik Gandhi's character and Avinash Tiwari's character, both of them, they go abroad after, I think, school or after college ends. And they've done well for themselves. The only one who stays behind is Dodo, which is the Bindu's character. And he, you know, his life just doesn't change. He lives with his father, who has no expectations from him. And he stays in, he sits in front of his computer. And he has created through Photoshop a life of himself on virtual media, which does not exist. There are a lot of hilarious gags here. And I just want to mention that there is one scene where he Photoshops a photo of him with Anurag Kashyap. And then he puts the caption that he always had faith in me. And then the real Anurag Kashyap comments, ki, you know, who the hell are you? So, but what I found moving is that, you know, this story is from the perspective of a friend who has been left behind, the friend who has stayed back, you know, the friend who we go back to, because for us who have left our homes, there is always that one person who reminds you of home because they have stayed back. Who reminds you of yourself in a way. And I really like that the narrator of the film was Dodo, was Deepbindu's character, was Deepbindu, who, you know, who was, he was a little resentful that his friends moved on and they kind of, if not forgotten him, but they kind of, you know, he could not match steps with them. So in a way, it was like, you know, what we understand is a loser, you know, in common, words. So I think that I found very interesting to have a story told from a person who is not that successful, who hasn't done great in his life, as we understand, and his resentment or his misgivings to his friends, and just his idea of trying to be something he's not, you know, just so that he doesn't feel small in front of his friends. I found that very moving. Which I feel like in the rest of these films, which I mentioned before, they kind of miss out on because there is no particular narrator. Like, you know, the film becomes about everyone all at once. And although Madgao is about everyone, I also feel like it never becomes existential where everyone is finding themselves. It just, like, for me, it was like, you know, friends catching up after a very long time. That was the vibe. And it was Deepbindu who was left behind. So it was him basically catching up with his friends and friends catching up with him. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Because, you know, Deepbindu plays the kind of character. Dodo is the kind of character who normally tend to be supporting characters in a lot of films and shows and stories in general. Even in life, you know, in their own lives, they become a supporting character most of the time. And the one, you know, who stays back and the others go abroad, become successful, come. Whenever they come back, they always have this one guy who's always there. So it, for them, it's their way of sort of catching up with their own childhood. They meet this guy and they go back. But nobody really humanizes this person because he's the one who's been left behind. And every friends group, I feel, over the years, you know, across gender, across, you know, social circles, across everything, everyone has that one or two friends who are always very much inextricably a part of the environment that you grew up in, and they still are there. I know I have where I grew up in, and I think I've become that person now in Bombay. A lot of people who come back during vacations and all, they catch up with me, and I can tell that we are reliving our college days, but that is happening through me because I've been here all this while. And it is a nice sort of perspective to use. And you can also tell that Kunal Khemu sort of empathizes with Dodo more than the other characters. I think he's a great surrogate for Khemu's own humor and his own comedy, his own sense of storytelling. And I think Khemu probably sees a bit of himself in this character also. You can tell it's a little more personal than the others. And I like that they turn it into a gag also, that when the other two come back, to hide his own sort of lack of success, financial success in life, he's like, let's do the Goa trip the way we would have done it as college kids. Let's do it on a budget. Let's go by train. Let's live in a cheap hotel. You know, and the other two take a while to catch on. But then they realize that this is happening because, you know, he's never really made it. And I think that joke, they really stretch it to like the perfect, almost the perfect sort of velocity. Because otherwise it's very easy to make a film where all three get like equal footage. And I like that Dodo is the one who's driving all the experiences, even in Goa. He wants them to have fun. I think the funniest scene is, I think one of the early songs is when he sees them after all three of them are you know, tripping on a drug or something. He sees them having fun, and it's supposed to be a funny scene where there's tears rolling down his cheek because he's happy to see his friends having fun, and it was his plan, and he's like a proud host almost. And it's played for comedy, but that's fairly moving also. Like, I think a lot of people are like that in general, and I think they found a very good sort of lens to enjoy what is otherwise a madcap comedy. There's a lot of go-goa gone in it. There's a lot of early Rohit Shetty, Golmaal humor, Dhamaal humor in it. A lot of gags are pulled off. Some of them work, some of them don't. It's actually also a nice change to see Nora Fateh in sort of a... She's playing a character in Goa who's more of a hippie, who's more of a dealer, but she gets involved with three of them. And it's nice to see her in more than a bit role, or not just dancing or whatever it is that she tends to normally be cast as. So yeah, and of course the veteran actors, Upendra Limai and Chaya Kadam, are, there's the bunch of gangsters, there are dons, there's a entire group gang of fisherwomen who also run a drug cartel. So it's all very wacky, almost predictable in that sense, the design. But the performances really make it like, I think the gags, you can talk about some of your favorite gags, because I know you wanted to mention all of them in your review and you didn't end up doing that.
Yeah. So my favorite gag, I mean, there are plenty actually. And the good thing is that I remember most of them, which does not generally happen. I think you tend to forget, except my favorite film of all times, Welcome, where I remember every beat. So, but I feel like my favorite, there are plenty of moments like the Salman Khan that, Dodo also photoshops his photo with Salman Khan, and very, very perceptibly, one of the hashtag is farmhouse, because that's all we know about Salman Khan. But I think my favorite is that there's Upendra Limai, who is playing a Don. And he does a headstand, you know, because he has his men have done something and he's not happy with it. So he has tied all these men upside down, and then he does a headstand, you know, kind of to evoke fear. And then he passes out because of it. And I thought that was hilarious. And also, I think that other moment when they kidnap Avinash Tiwari and Nora Fateh, the same men. And because it's Goa, you know, you eat and you sleep in the afternoon. So everyone just dozed off. Like everyone is sleeping. So this very, like, you know, this humor, which is very built into the place, which I thought was very, like, it just shows the fact that, you know, that Kunal King, as a filmmaker, as a writer, also lived with this film for a while. Like, he just did not just write it. Like, he thought about it, and which I think came across. And also the performances, just like a shout out to Pratik Gandhi. I think Pratik Gandhi being coked up is just, it's just insane. And, you know, like, he's a very good actor, and we have seen that. But I think to crack, like, the comedy is not easy. And he's just so funny, like, as this protective, sheltered Gujarati boy. And he, obviously, because he's Gujarati, he never really hams it up, and he's so good at it. And then the moment he is, like, accidentally coked up, and he just feels like he can conquer the world, you know, and he just... goes out and he's like, I don't care, you know, who is saying what. And just this, the whole dichotomy of this extreme, I think he does it so well. And also I found that very, very interesting, I must say, that even though there was this, like in the trailer, I remember seeing the whole cross-dressing thing, which made me a little wary in 2023, but 2024. But I want to say that when it did happen in the film, I did not mind it. And also it was very, very... interesting in a way, which I feel like, you know, when till the time Pratik Gandhi was basically wearing these t-shirt and pants and all, he was like very sheltered, and he was like scared of everything else because he's allergy prone. And there's a moment when he's wearing that sari and he's coked up, so he's like, now I can take on the world. And I thought, I'm sure it was probably not deliberate, but I thought that was a very interesting thing to do. Like, you know, he's wearing a sari now, he's like, I can do whatever now. So yeah, I think those the performances were just exceptional. And also I think Avinash Tiwari was just this very brooding kind of a guy. You know, we have all had that one person, you know, who will fall in love with this random person on the internet, will keep his life a secret, you know, and who thinks he is deeper than he is. I think we have all met that person, and just this whole, like the dynamic between them, I thought was very well done.
Yeah, that's what, like, despite it being so over the top and it being technically a comedy, I feel so much of it is relatable, so much of it is close to home, and it's very informed, the friendship between the three of them. It's not your usual regular upper middle class thing where, you know, each of them find each other here. It's obviously, you can tell that there are the chemistry between them is very tangible, and you can tell that there is some resentment on part of Dodo who's been left behind. And of course, the two NRIs take a while to come around, and it's really nice to see because none of it looks fake, and each of them are characters we have probably seen at some point in our lives, and each of them represent a certain kind of friend, a certain kind of man in a group. And and you're right about Pratik Gandhi. For me, it was like pretty much as good as it gets when it comes to like a physical comedy performance, because it's just so difficult to do that. And even he plays the coked up, you know, I'll take on the world kind of man with a very typical Gujarati arrogance that happens to a lot of, if you spend enough time in Gujarat or you grow up like I did there, you tend to see this after a few drinks. A lot of them start to sound a little brash and start to like have their chest out with something they don't do on a daily basis. So they just become like very, very funny and brash versions of themselves. And I think Pratik may have played on that also, cultural, that little cultural nugget. So I think he's a very, very good performance for me. He was the biggest surprise of the film. And I'm glad, because that also shows that it's been almost 4 years since Scam 92 came out. And during the pandemic, he became like a sensation with that performance, as rightly so. He became like the biggest OTT sort of star for the longest time. But we haven't seen him enough since then. And we were wondering if, some of us were wondering if he has the versatility to pull off different kinds of roles, because we do know he's a good actor, but was that a fluke? Will that ever happen again? We've seen him in a couple of short films here and there, but not enough to really scratch that itch that he had opened out in like Scam 92. And I'm very glad that he really sunk his teeth into this role and gave it, sort of his all. And it just could have, and of course, it's very also amusing to see everyone being so happy for Kunal Khemu. Like all over the internet, I've been seeing that. That's the most interesting reaction I've seen. No matter if people like the film or not, but it's been getting good reviews. It's been getting great word of mouth. A lot of people have been watching it, at least those on the internet, and people have been enjoying it. And everyone has one thing to say, that they're very happy for Kunal Khemu because they had a soft spot for him for the longest time, because maybe he didn't get his dues as an actor, especially as a comedian and all this, and he was never a hero, mainstream hero per se. So it's a really nice thing to see also. It's a very feel-good story. And I know you were also a fan of Kunal Khemu, so it's fairly sweet to see him getting all the adulation finally.
Yeah, actually. And I like that, you know, what people thought of Kunal Khemu, you know, just like through his interviews and everything, you know, like a Mira Road guy, and he's been very forthright about his background, his upbringing, of this person who is inherently middle class. And I like that there was so much of it in his film, that he was not trying to be someone he's not. Like his film was not trying to be something it's not, even though it's backed by Excel, which kind of a production house which popularized this whole road trip genre in a way in Hindi films, you know, through films like Dil Chahta Hai and Zindagi. I felt like it was such a interesting counter narrative to both the films, you know, to show that this also exists apart from everything else. That and as I said, that I really liked that there was no heavy-handed existentialism, and no one had a self-realization which they thought they will have in this trip, because they kind of started it in a way, you know, like the whole film, I feel like the three friends were trying in a way to live the Dil Chahta Hai dream, because they have watched these films when they were growing up. And it was very funny the way Kunal Khemu kept puncturing it, like, you know, when there's a moment when they are in college, I think right after college, and they're drunk and they really want to do that one reckless thing and drive to Goa, and they start playing. The first thing they do is get in the car and play the Dil Chahta Hai CD, and the music starts. And any other film would have just, you know, scored that moment to that music. But in Madgaon, one of them just throws up because they're too drunk, and then the trip just ends over there. So I feel every time you feel it could be like a reiteration of Dil Chahta Hai or Zindagi, you know, the film really reined it in Madgaon and just, like, Unraveled as a film which has its own distinct position, voice, you know, and story, what it wanted to say, which was very different from the others, which I really enjoyed.
Where do you rate it in terms of your all-time favorites like Welcome and Dhamaal? And will this be the kind of film you'll watch over the years and, you know, sort of go back to whenever you want to laugh?
Yes, yeah, for sure. I feel like, to repeat, my all-time favorite film, Welcome, I feel like it's a classic. But having said that, I think it struggled a little bit in the third act when Feroz Khan enters. But I think comedy tends to do that, you know. You take even in a Rohit Shetty film, which I'm not a big fan of, but even then you see that there can be a dip. But I feel like this film, the dip was not too steep. I mean, it happened, we could feel it, but I think the gags were pretty, I think they will age well. Like now, yeah. while writing the review, I was laughing. Even when I think about it sometimes, you know, it makes me laugh. So I think it's a good sign. I think it will age well.
Yeah, it'll probably have a great shelf life on the internet also, I think, hopefully, when it does drop on a streaming platform. But yeah, I'm glad that people are hopefully watching this film and enjoying it also. I think I did get a few messages from people saying, you know, what's the fuss? We watched it in a half empty theater. And I was like, you know, I think a lot of it is also down to watching it with like people around you. We watched it in a full hall. So it's a very community experience, these kind of comedies. I can imagine watching it in an empty hall may not be as enjoyable as if you're lucky enough to watch it in a packed hall. But all these things contribute, and you know, it's part of the viewing experience. And I think as critics over the years, you learn that. And we were lucky enough to watch it in a packed press show, so I think that worked. I don't know what it would have been like on a Friday morning. Maybe we would have thought differently, but I'm pretty sure that the gags would have still worked. And I think I think at least both of us might have found it still very funny. Is there anything else you'd like to add about Madgaon Express?
No, I think we've covered more or less.
Yeah. I think the rest will leave up to viewers to enjoy it when they do discover it on the big screen or on the internet later. But so you have two good choices from last week, Lutere and Madgaon Express. As different as they can get in terms of genre, but both very enjoyable and one of the better weeks in terms of versatility. And I'm not going to include that third film that we are not going to speak about here, which only Ishita watched and reviewed. I did not, which is the Savarkar film by Randeep Huda. We're not going to be talking about that. But yeah, do enjoy this while it's still there. And write into us if you watch Lutere over the next few weeks, if you have any queries, if you have any, any sort of trivia to share, any feelings to share, do write into us. And hopefully we'll be back soon discussing films over the next few weeks. And hopefully Uday will be around too. Thank you for listening to us, and take care.